Let's read together 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. In this first half of the chapter, we have the qualifications for elders or overseers of the local church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop or overseer, he desires a good work. A bishop or overseer must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Let's begin our study of this important chapter with some background notes. There are only two offices in the church today, according to the New Testament, the office of elder and the office of deacon. And the qualifications of both of these offices are covered right here in this chapter. Elders in the first half of the chapter and deacons in the second half of the chapter. Elders, or overseers, translated bishops in the King James Version, are one and the same. These terms are used interchangeably in the New Testament. The elders or overseers are the spiritual authority in the church. Elder emphasizes their maturity and dignity, whereas overseer emphasizes their function. You see, the Bible does not envision that there was to be an ecclesiastical hierarchy built up where the spiritual leaders of individual churches would answer to some regional authority and so on up the line to some national headquarters or worldwide religious authority. No, the Bible teaches that every New Testament church is directly responsible to Christ. The line of authority comes down directly from Christ, the head of the church, to the spiritual leaders of individual local churches, that is, the elders. There is no intermediate hierarchy or headquarters. Each church is autonomous, that is, self-governing before the Lord. Furthermore, the Bible teaches the plurality of elders. That is, the New Testament never speaks of the pastor of a church or the minister of a church or the bishop of a church. No, it is always plural. In Acts chapter 20, verse 17, we read that Paul met with the elders, plural, of the church at Ephesus. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, we read that all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops or overseers, that is the elders, and deacons. Again, notice, plural. Furthermore, the Bible teaches that the office of elder or overseer is male, not female. Wherever the New Testament mentions elders, they are always men. Now, to say that these scriptures were only for the first century and not normative for the church today opens the door for changing many teachings of the New Testament. We need to be careful about conforming scripture to what you might like it to say, or what is politically correct today. Question: who makes a man an elder? Is he elected or voted into that office based on popularity or wealth or ability as a corporate executive? No. The answer is the Holy Spirit makes a man an elder or overseer. Listen to the exhortation that Paul gave to the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. So it is not the responsibility of churches to elect its elders, but to recognize the elders who have been made elders by the Holy Spirit. I'm reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Now, how a church goes about officially recognizing the elders that the Holy Spirit has appointed is open in the New Testament. It can be done in a number of different ways and still be in line with Scripture. And a lot more we could say there, but we need to move on to our doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, elders are responsible for spiritual leadership. Elders are responsible for spiritual leadership. Did you notice from the scripture that we read in Acts chapter 20 that the work of the elder is to shepherd the flock? Let me just read that scripture once again. Verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. That's why the word pastor is also used for the position and work of an overseer or elder. But remember, in the New Testament, it is more than one man doing the pastoring of any one church. And by the way, even if you're not an elder, you can still be involved in the pastoral care of fellow sheep. Now, as shepherds lead their physical sheep, so elders are to give spiritual leadership to the spiritual sheep. Elders are like shepherds of a flock, not dictators, not Marine drill sergeants, and not sugar daddies, and not Santa Clauses, but shepherds. I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. The elders who are among you, I exhort, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. As shepherds, elders are responsible to care for the flock, to feed the flock, to guide the flock, to discipline the flock, to lead the flock. It's not a passive role. I know of a church which is dying right now because of its eldership. They are elders, but they are not fulfilling the role of a shepherd. Being an elder is not an easy job. The responsibility of overseeing and shepherding the flock is work. Notice verse 1 again. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires a position of an overseer or bishop, that is, an elder, he desires a good work. Why is it work? Because the sheep are always wandering. The sheep are always complaining. The sheep are never satisfied. Of course, that's not true of any sheep here at this church. So the work of an elder is not always a pleasant work, but it's a good work, a fine work, a noble work. And there is reward. Once again, I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you, that is the elders, will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Elders are responsible for spiritual leadership. Doctrinal point number two. Elders are characterized by moral integrity and ability to teach. Elders are characterized by moral integrity and ability to teach. As we look over the qualifications for elders here, we should mention a couple of things. Number one, these qualifications are the ideal. This is what we look for in the spiritual leaders of the church. But all Christians should strive for these qualities. And number two, probably no man meets these moral qualifications 100%. They are the ideal and what we look for in an elder. I mean, would there be any church that had any elders if meeting these standards 100% were required? Now, most of the qualifications listed here are easy to understand, but two of them require some elaboration. In verse 2, we read that the elder or overseer must be the husband of one wife. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that he must be married? After all, a married man will generally have more experience in dealing with family problems, as verse 5 indicates. Does it mean an elder must not be remarried? Does it mean that an elder must not be a polygamist and must not be divorced? Does it mean that he must be a one-woman man? That is, not flirtatious, but a model husband that other men in the church can look up to as an example. As you read all the commentaries on this phrase, the husband of one wife, you find that you can make a good case for several of these views. So I don't think we can be dogmatic here. However, one thing we can say for sure is that elders must be characterized by moral integrity. The other qualification for elders that needs some elaboration here is the end of verse 2. The ability to teach, right? He must be able to teach. Now, why is that important? Because an elder must be able to distinguish between sound biblical doctrine and false teaching. Elders do not have to be gifted teachers. They may be, but they have to be able to explain the scriptures and answer questions of interpretation and sniff out heresy and be sensitive to the possible creeping in of false teaching. So ability to teach is an important characteristic for elders. Elders must be characterized by moral integrity and ability to teach. Now, what about practical application? Practical application number one, watch out for the snare of the devil. Watch out for the snare of the devil. In verses 6 and 7, the devil is mentioned twice. In verse 6, we read that an elder should not be a novice or a new convert, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Now, we know that Satan was created blameless, but he fell and was judged because of the sin of pride. Read Isaiah 14 in this connection. The same thing can happen if you wrongly recognize a man who is a recent convert as an elder. It doesn't matter how talented he is or how gifted he is. It can lead to pride and problems. I've seen it happen. Verse 7, we read that the elder must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Watch out for the snare of the devil. Satan loves to trap a church leader into making a mistake that ruins his reputation. Thus, shame is brought on himself, on the church, and the Christian community. Church leaders must maintain a good testimony before this non-Christian world. The world loves to publicize Christian leaders who fail. So, brothers and sisters, this is why it's so important for you to pray for your elders. Satan is out to trip them up, especially them. Watch out for the snare of the devil.